Today we'll learn from Judges chapter 1 verse 1 to 10. And the topic of today's message is new creation in Christ. It's a new beginning, it's new year. Happy New Year! But how can we, for the new year, live a better life than last year? I will share with you. Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin of U.S. President John F. Kennedy on November 22, 1963, in Dallas, Texas, where I was from. Lee was arrested on suspicion of killing the president and also a Dallas police officer. 2 days later, before he could be brought to trial for the crimes, while being transferred under police custody from the police station to jail, Lee was shot and killed by Jack Ruby on live television. Many people saw that. Lee was born in New Orleans, 1 hour from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. His father had previously been married before his marriage to Lee's mother. And Lee's father died 2 months before Lee was born. So when he was born, he was without a father. His mother largely raised Lee on his own along with two other older siblings, his brother Robert and his half-brother. And his mom's son was from a previous marriage and divorce. So his mom was married to another man and also got divorced. Lee did have a stepfather later on for several years who married his mother and later again divorcing her. So this is a broken family with a lot of pain and hurt. And his mother is said to have spoiled Lee in excess. Whatever he wanted, she would give him. The mother has also been characterized as domineering and emotionally volatile. She couldn't control her emotions very well. So Lee's youth was plagued by such broken family and such influences from her mom. Besides that, Lee's youth was also plagued by extreme mobility. Before the age of 18, Lee had already lived in 20 different residences. Before 18, he moved 21 times until he got to the 22nd residence. Welcome. And he attended 12 different schools before 18. How many schools have you attended? Maybe 3 if you went to elementary school here, and then one high school, and then Baton Rouge High School. I know it's a very good high school. But he went to 12 different schools before 18. And his mother also sent him to an orphanage for 13 months when the mother was so poor she could no longer take care of him and also his brothers. As a child, Lee was withdrawn and temperamental. He had a bad temper. He would get angry very easily. After moving in with his half-brother, Lee was asked to leave after an incident where Lee threatened his stepmom with a knife and struck his own mother. He was then put under a 3-week court-ordered stay for psychiatric observation in a facility called Youth House. A house for the youth, but it's for troubled youth. According to a survey by Prison Fellowship in 1996, over 90% of criminals who committed murder or violent assault came from broken families or experienced unhappy childhood. Are you from broken families? Do you have unhappy childhood? The fact is, our family and childhood experiences can have long-lasting impact on our lives. If you are from a broken family and had an unhappy childhood, how can you overcome the hurt and still be able to lead a healthy life? If there are things in your family that are still having a negative influence on you, maybe you have a nasty brother or sister, maybe your father doesn't really treat you well, there are many, many things that might cause your childhood to be unhappy. But how can you be free from such negative influences and not end up like Lee, becoming an an angry young man who ended up assassinating the President of the United States and ended up being killed himself. Today we'll look at one of the judges in the Old Testament, Jephthah, whose life was changed mightily by God to be mightily used by God, although he had a very bad family background too, and he had a very bad childhood. What helped him to overcome the terrible hurt and adverse family environment in his life to become a mighty warrior for God? And how can we do the same, also overcome the negative impact of our family and also of our unhappy childhood? How can we overcome those and still live a healthy life? That's what we'll look at today. But before we move on, I'd like to tell you more about the book of Judges so that you'll understand more about why the Israelites needed judges. You probably have a different understanding of judges than what is mentioned here. So that's why I need to explain to you. And why God used Jephthah as one of the judges. He would be the least likely candidate for being a judge, looking at his broken family and his bad experiences in his life. By the way, do you know who were the judges? Do you know who were the judges in Israel in the Old Testament?
Samuel?
So who were the judges? What did the judge do in Israel? Do you know that? Judge, right? Obviously, judge is one of the things that a judge would do. But judges were leaders of Israel before Israel had kings. And the first king was Saul, and then we had King David and King Solomon, right? But before that, the Israelites had judges, okay, to be leaders of the Israel. And what did a judge do? A judge decided who was guilty in court. Okay, someone committed a crime, or someone was accused of, he would be a judge and decide if that person is guilty or not. And he also led the army in battle. He was in charge of the government as well. Israel had 15 judges in total. What is a judge like? A judge is like the president. A judge is like the chief justice of the Supreme Court and the commander-in-chief in the United States. He was someone really, really important in Israel. But what you will see in the book of Judges is a vicious cycle. The Israelites, God's chosen people, they didn't obey God. God asked them to obey God's commandments in the book of Moses. And asked them not to worship false gods. There's only one true God. Don't worship those wooden idols. But they did not listen. Then God disciplined them by annoying those people living around them in Canaan. Those were very violent people. They tried to attack them, and they oppressed them. And then they would cry out to God for help, because even their lives were threatened. But why would God allow this to happen? Because God wanted, through this discipline, help them to return to God. That's what happens in our life too. When we have trouble, we'll cry out to God and we'll pray harder, right? Similarly, through these oppressions on them from the people in Canaan, God wanted them to return to Him, repent from their sins. And they did. They repented, they returned to God, and God would send a judge. Judge is like a commander-in-chief who had great military talents and power to help protect them from their enemies so that they will be saved, they will be freed from their enemies' attack. And of course, the judge will also be the judge to see who is guilty when there's a crime, and also govern the whole nation. And that's what happened in Judges chapter 10. Let me read from you a few verses from Judges chapter 10 so you'll understand what happened before Judge chapter 11, to help us understand better what is going to happen in chapter 11. According to Judges chapter 10, verse 11, the Lord replied, "When the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and 12, verse 12, the Sidonians, the Amalekites and the Moabites, all these were enemies, people in Canaan who were trying to oppress you. And you cried out to me for help. Did I not save you from my hands? See, there were many times that they were being oppressed. And because they were worshipping false gods, they were not obeying God's commandments. So God used them to discipline them. And then they would cry out to God, and God would save them. Once and again, once and again. And then they would go back to worship false gods again when they had peace. But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods that you have chosen. If you believe in those false gods, when you're in trouble, go to those false gods to help you. Why are you coming to me? Let them save you. Let them save you when you are in trouble. Verse 15. But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best. But please rescue us now. We are dying." Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord. When that happened, God could no longer bear Israel's misery anymore. That's what happens in Judges chapter 11, 1. God sent a mighty warrior, a judge, to help them. Judge chapter 11, verse 1. Could you go back to the slide with the verses? Yeah, just go back. One more slide. See, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And that would be Jephthah's stepmom. And when they were grow up, the sons of the stepmom grow up, they drove Jephthah away and said, "You are not going to get any inheritance in our family. Don't even think about that. You'll get the money from my family." They said, "Because you are the son of another woman, not my mom." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. These adventurers, some of them might be gangsters, not gangsters now. Do you sometimes complain why you were born in such a family? Why isn't your father as wise, talented, and wealthy as your friend's dad, who provides everything for your friend? But why can't your father be more handsome, gentle, nurturing, and friendly as your friend's father? Oh, your friend's dad is so nice, you want to be his son or daughter. Why isn't your mom as beautiful, caring, understanding, and elegant as your friend's mom? Your friend's mom is such a role model. But look at my mom, she's not as good. You're not satisfied, you're not happy, you're not content, you complain. And why are my brothers and sisters so nasty to me, instead of treating me nice, even treating me like a best friend? See, my friends, brothers and sisters, were like best friends to my friend. Why can't I be like my friend, having very loving brothers and sisters in the family? And why am I not gifted as my friend, who will certainly have a better future than I? Although I'm already in the gifted program, but there is one student who is the smartest in the class, and he is usually the person who shines. How about me? Although I'm in the gifted program, I'm almost on the bottom of the gifted program. He would have a better future. And some people even in the gifted program laugh at me for, "See, you're not as good as that person, you're not going to have a good future, you're not going to go to the top college in the United States." Have you ever wondered what you end up with in the future? Now you're young, or maybe some of you are like older, like me, but have you ever wondered what would your future be like? Probably someone insignificant doing an insignificant job in an insignificant city. Some people think Baton Rouge is a is a very insignificant city in the United States. Nobody knows about it. Actually, I heard about Baton Rouge only last year in April when someone called me saying that, hey, Baton Rouge, the Chinese church there need an English minister. That was the first time I heard of Baton Rouge. So Baton Rouge is not a very, very famous city that everybody knows about. But if you go on like this, there'll be a long list. And you will start feeling you're the most miserable person in the whole world. You will probably have no motivation to do anything at all. Because what difference can that make? Even if I try to do all these things, I'm not going to be better. So you just try to sit at home and do nothing. No motivation at all. You feel depressed. You know what? If you continue like this, you will indeed become someone you have imagined you to be. It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a prophecy, something that you think will happen, but it happens because of what you do. Okay? You are responsible for that. But can your family background worse than Jephra's? Let me put myself into Jephra's shoes. Hello, I'm Jephra now. Let me tell you something about my life. My father was an unfaithful husband who had sex with a prostitute who became my mom. So I'm a prostitute son. But at least my dad was kind enough to let me stay in his house with his wife or my stepmom. But my stepmom never liked me. Because whenever she saw me, she thought about what my dad did with my actual mom, my biological mom, who gave birth to me. Worse than that, soon my stepmom had sons, and they always hated me. Because my stepmom told them about what happened between my dad and my mom. So they hated me. My brothers-in-law hated me. I felt so lonely. When I felt so lonely and weak, I would go to the quiet places. I would run and run and run. And I would train my body. I learned how to hunt. And I became a very strong and skillful hunter. I was very good in fighting. I was able to kill many wild beasts with the strength and the skill that I have gained through training. After my stepbrothers grow up, they finally drove me out of my father's house. What they said? You are not getting any of our family inheritance because you are the son of another woman. Yeah, I'm just the son of a whore, of a prostitute. I'm not the legitimate son. And I know I don't deserve anything from my father. So here I go. I felt sad. I felt mad about my life. I finally ran away from my father's house because I couldn't take the abuse anymore. Who can take that abuse for so long? I've had enough. But when I was running away from home, I was running and was crying. I was crying while I was running. I was so sad. I was so mad. I wanted to die. I wanted to die. Life is not fair. Life is so unfair. Why is life so unfair to me? I was wandering on the street. Nobody treated me nice until I met some gangsters. They were nice to me. The gangsters were nice to me. Forget about the good people who treated me like trash. Those people who claimed to be good and yet they treated me like trash because of my background. These gangsters, they are my buddies. My friends in need. And my friends indeed. Seeing that I was stronger and more skillful in fighting than all of them, they asked me to be their leader. So I became their leader, the leader of gangsters. We did something stupid, like robbing the poor and weak people. But finally, I decided to quit. And doing these stupid things when I thought about the God. My father mentioned to me when I was a child. I didn't like my father for what he did. But I saw him worshiping God. And I knew there was the true God. I saw him offering sacrifices to God, asking for God's forgiveness. Now I know why. My father was imperfect. And I am also imperfect. I have done so many nasty things to other people too. Oh, what would I end up with if I continue my life like this? God would certainly judge me. And as the leader of a gang, I realized that life is very fragile. What if I am in a fight and I get hurt and then I might die? Thinking about that, I started seeking the true God. I learned from the book of Moses about how God would bless me if I followed His commandments, and how miserable I might end up if I continued to do the evil things that I was doing. As the gang's leader, I asked the gang to stop robbing the poor and the weak, but instead, we fought the evil people and helped the poor and needy people with their money. More and more people heard about us and joined us. We started our own farms and kept livestock for food and sold the extra food for money. Now we have enough money, we don't need to rob anymore. God provided us what we needed and we could help other people. As leader of the gang, I would need to be the judge when there were disputes among the gang members. Obviously, they were gang members, although they have turned better, they were still gang members, okay? They often get into fights, and I had to judge who is guilty and who deserves the punishment. I always did things justly, always thinking about what I read from the books written by Moses. I became well known as the merciful, wise, and mighty warrior among the people I was with. And then I heard about the war the Ammonites made on Israel and against my own people, Gilead too. As you read from Judges chapter 11, verse 4. Sometime later, when the Ammonites made war on Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, they said, be our commander, so we can fight the Ammonites. Jephthah said to them, didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you are in trouble? You hated me. You didn't treat me nice. Verse 8, the elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Forget about the past. Help us now because we need your help. Come with us to fight the Ammonites, and you will be our head over all who live in Gilead. Wow, the elders of Gilead, they were willing to net the leader of a gang to become their head, the judge of all the people. And of course they knew he was only the son of a prostitute, and the bad things he did when he was younger. How did Jephthah answer? Suppose you take me back to fight the Ammonites and the Lord gives them to me, will I really be your head? Are you just, you know, trying to make me help you by saying a lie, and then after I've helped you, you will, you know, again push me away like you did before? So he was wondering. Verse 10, the elders of Gilead replied, the Lord is our witness. We will certainly do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them, and he repeated all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. So you see that Jephthah already worshipped the true God, and he repeated his words before the Lord, and he wanted to seek the Lord's guidance in this. So he became a believer of true God. Hello, this is me again. I'm Jephthah again now. I'm the prostitute son. I'm the stepson and stepbrother. My stepmom and stepbrothers hated to the point of driving me out of my dad's house. I once was a stupid, a bad gangster leader who repented and followed the true God, who created the heavens and the earth. And then I became the merciful, wise, and mighty warrior. Finally, I became the president and commander-in-chief of my people. Isn't that wonderful? Now I realize, as the judge of my people, why God let me go through all the painful experiences in my family and in my life. Nobody would ever thought that I would become the president and commander-in-chief of my own people, at least not my own family. They would never thought that I would become the president of my own people. They would despise me for being born from a prostitute. But God was so gracious to me to choose someone so unworthy like me to serve Him and His people. God was training me. God was preparing me through the tough experience I had just for today and the future. What can I say? God is great, and His name should be praised. God is great, and His name should be praised. Hi, this is me. Now, this is Johnny. I'm Minister Tang. I can tell you similar stories about myself in my own life, and the conclusion is similar. That's why when I was trying to repeat what happened to Jephthah, I was in tears because I saw part of me in that story. God was training me and preparing me through the tough experiences in my life for just today and the future, what God wanted me to do and what God wants me to do in the future. God is still training me today while I'm serving as the English minister of Chinese Christian Church of Baton Rouge. It's a training ground. It's tough. Sometimes I feel it's impossible to do so many things by just one person. I'm glad God helped me through other brothers and sisters who were touched by God's love to help build God's kingdom. But I know this is just a training ground to train me to be better servants of God. He has better plans for me in the future. I don't know it yet, but I will serve faithfully now here as the English minister of Chinese Christian Church of Baton Rouge. What can I say? God is great, and His name should be praised. God is great, and His name should be praised. Shouldn't we all say that? God is great, and His name should be praised. So don't give up on yourself, even if your family, the miserable circumstances you are in, the people around you, all seem to give up on you because you are not as good as they have expected you to be. You know what? Because God will never give up on you. God never gives up on you. You can be a mighty warrior for God too, just like the judge Jephthah. But let's think. Is there anybody in the past in your family or in your life who have hurted you and that you still cannot forgive? Let's ask God to give us power to forgive these people in our family or in our life who hurt us. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the power to forgive. It's beyond human power, okay? And if you try to do it yourself, you can't do it. You have to pray and ask God through the Holy Spirit to help you to forgive. What will happen after that? You will be released from the prison you built for yourself because of other people's mistakes. Sometimes we are very stupid. We try to punish ourselves because other people did something wrong to us. Because when we don't forgive people, we have built a prison. We have confined ourselves in that little cell, and we keep thinking about that person and say, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." It's worse than being in prison. It's like a mental prison you confined yourself in. Unless you can forgive that person, you'll always be in that terrible cell in the prison. Is there anything in your life that's keeping you from experiencing God's blessing on you, like how God blessed Jephthah, like how God blessed the Israelites when they were willing to return and repent their sins to God? This is a new year. Let's start by repenting and returning to God. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness of what we have thought, what we have said, what we have done that are against God's standards of perfection, holiness. That's called sin. God, forgive us. Is there any difficult situation in your life that you're going through, or that you have been through? When you are in that situation, what should you do? Ask for wisdom from God. Because God will give you wisdom, and you'll see that there's a purpose in going through all the tough situations to train you to become a merciful, wise, and mighty warrior for God, like Jephthah became. So don't give up on yourself. God never gives up on you. And don't give up on God, because God never gives up on you. Before I close today's message, I would like also to share with you another two Bible verses as an encouragement to all of us in the beginning of the year. 2 Corinthians, as we read, chapter 5, verse 17. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We can have a new life. God can heal us from the past hurts in our life that's still having influence on us. If we are indeed in Christ, letting Christ help us to forgive those who hurt us, repent and return from our sins, and help, ask God to help us to have wisdom to learn how to train ourselves for God's kingdom. The new life will get even better each day as you follow the following teaching. If we feel we are not seeing any result of our efforts, some of us are really trying to be good, to follow God, but we often fail. Again, I say, don't give up. Be patient. Continue to train, and you surely see fruit from it. Because Jephthah didn't become a mighty warrior overnight. How can you expect yourself to become a mighty warrior just overnight? Don't give up. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, become new by the renewing of your mind through God's word every day. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. God's will for you, that is good, pleasing, and perfect. There was an elephant. When it was firstborn, it was tied to a pole so that it would not run away. And then the elephant grew and became bigger and bigger. It became a huge adult elephant. You know what? He was still tied to that pole. And the elephant was not trying to get away, because in its mind, it was still a baby elephant, which did not have the power to get away from the pole. But as a strong adult elephant, he could very easily just unplug the whole pole and then get away. You know, sometimes our past experience, unhappy experiences, the hurts caused to us by our family, they were just not that pole. But when we are new in Christ, you know what? We have the power to break away from that pole that's tying us to it. But psychologically, we are still living in that old mode, even though we're already in Christ. That's why our mind needs to be continually renewed, so that we know we can break away the past unhappy incidences, experiences that still have a negative impact on us. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and noticed and understood our new identity, status, power, and promise from God, we can very easily overcome the bondage, the binding of our unhappy and negative childhood or family experiences and influences. We can't do it by ourselves, but we can by our God who gives us strength. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us learn from Jephthah's life. He was born into such a miserable family background. He experienced such misery in his life. He could just have given up on his life, become someone who is totally messed up, someone who would be hurting other people. But your power changed his life. Your power made him a mighty warrior. You used what happened in his life to train him to be what you wanted him to be. God, we know each one of us in our past. We have some experiences in our family as a child or when we were growing up that hurt us. And that's still hindering us from growing up. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, free us from these bondages. God, help us, give us the power to forgive those people who hurt us, who said we are nobody, we can get nowhere. But God, you said, you are special. We're all special. We can be mighty warriors if we're willing to closely follow God. Because what we cannot do, God, who is almighty, he can. God, I would also like to pray that if there's any difficult situation we have been through and we are now facing, give us strength and wisdom to know your will through these so that we can be trained through these difficult situations and be benefited from that so that will better prepare us to serve you, our most loving God, who sacrificed his only holy son for our sins in our place so that we don't need to be judged in hell but to have eternal life with God. God, this new year, it's just beginning. Renew us and transform us to the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ every day in the new year through your powerful word in the Bible, through prayers, continued prayers we'll have in our life. Our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Counselor, to our most loving, sovereign Heavenly Father. Amen.